I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another one of our Sundance Film Festival reports with Jed Dietz, of course, the director and founder of the Maryland Film Festival, who's out there every year to scout out films for us in Baltimore and see what new is on the horizon. Jed, how you doing?
Just fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, and I do have to ask you about what you said before we jumped on the air together, which was that you have an avalanche report?
Apparently they have these reports all through the day out here. It's not something you hear very often, you know, when you're in Baltimore.
So are you safe while you're in Park City?
Yeah. The backcountry skiing, I guess, it can be pretty dangerous when there's been a lot of snow, and we've had a lot of snow, and there's another big storm due in. So it's just, you know, part of life here that you pay attention to what's happening with the snow.
Yes, you do. Having lived in those places myself, you do. So stay in Park City. Don't look for films in the backcountry, Jed.
I will.
So
all the years I've come here, I've never once gotten out a pair of skis. I just spent all my time in movie theaters.
Well, that's what you're there for.
Right.
So, by the way, folks, Jed is blogging about this week at the Maryland Film Festival blog, which you can link to from our site, steinershow.org, and read everything he's been writing about what's going on in Park City at the Sundance. I just want to ask you a quick question before we jump into some films. There was a lot made of the new director of the film festival, John Cooper, who took over from Jeffrey Gilmore, and even from Robert Redford's own lips about the festival going back to its roots of really looking for independence, becoming less Hollywood. How are you perceiving that this year?
Well, I feel like Sundance has always been an incredible advocate for independent filmmaking, even when the town was full of celebrities that seemed to grab the press's attention. The rest of us were really paying attention to these emerging filmmakers. But I do think that, as Manolo Dargis wrote in the New York Times this morning, and it's been written about generally in the media during this festival, that you do have this sense of the distributors aren't hovering around so much. It's really about the films and the filmmakers. And I think there's a lot here that we're going to hear about. It may take, 10 months or a year and a half, but there are a lot of things here that I think we're going to hear about, both in the documentary world and the feature world.
So let's look at, there's no kind of visceral sense there's a difference that you can feel at this moment.
Yes.
Right.
And some of that, I think, is just what's happened in the industry. I mean, there are, half a dozen really good art house distributors have closed their doors this year.
That's interesting. So the film festival has become all more and more important.
Yes, indeed.
So talk about what you've seen since we last saw you and what has really grabbed you and what's taken you.
Well, the two big themes that I keep running into here are these movies about relationships. And there's filmmakers are clearly interested in modern American culture and what it does to the individuals in it. And I don't, that all sounds very ponderous. Most of these movies are not ponderous.
Mm-hmm.
That has been shown a lot. The other one that we touched on a little bit on Tuesday is in the documentary world, clearly these filmmakers feel a responsibility and are grabbing a responsibility. They're running toward the responsibility of reporting in depth on things that our traditional media are not touching. And this goes, everything from, serious exploration of the dangers of mining for natural gas, which has been completely lost in all the T. Boone Pickens finance discussion, right through an unbelievable movie I saw yesterday called Catfish, which explores the inherent dangers of internet relationships. And it's unbelievable. And everybody knows that it's out there, but this is the first time I've ever seen this explored. And it's totally entertaining. Catfish is just, it's one of these movies that's been buzzed about all through the festival, and it's just fantastic.
Documentary?
Yeah, documentary.
Okay.
And it happened to there are these two filmmakers one of whom's brother is a well-known photographer, mostly of dance, and he gets into a relationship through Facebook, and they start filming that. And where it goes, I don't even want to talk about it too much in terms of the plot, because it's unbelievable the way it unfolds, and it's a totally amazing story. But all of us have, you know, that are using the internet, and all of us are using the internet, you know, worry about sort of what's truth and what isn't, and how you can be manipulated both emotionally and otherwise, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just it's great. So the documentary world is just vibrating.
And do you think that world in general is growing in terms of viewership?
I do, and there's this is a part of the world where the higher quality, lower price equipment that develops almost daily, changes in favor of the filmmaker almost daily, is really having impact. And on top of that, some really key new money has come in. George Soros has been funding documentary films for a while. But Jeff Skoll, you know, who was one of the, you know, I think he was the first full-time employee at eBay, made a huge amount of money at eBay, and he has been single-handedly funding sort of issue movies, some of which are totally fascinating big hit movies, Good Night and Good Luck, Syriana, An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore documentary that won the Academy Award. And he's got several movies here, and he alone is starting to, it has already had a big impact, and there are a few others like that, too.
So tell me what I saw on your blog, you talked about Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing's film, the women who made Boys of Barak and Jesus Camp, made a new film called 12th in Delaware.
Yeah. Well, I this movie is going to change America, Mark. It is about abortion. It focuses on a street corner in Florida, 12th and Delaware, that on one corner is an abortion clinic, private abortion clinic. On the other corner is a thing called a pregnancy care center, which I'd never heard of, but is a anti-abortion clinic, not-for-profit. There are 4,000 of these in America. 800 abortion clinics, 4,000 of these pregnancy care centers.
We've got some in Baltimore.
I know. And they, in the Q&A, the Baltimore's recent, you know, how to get the signage correct so that people don't get fooled. I mean, you see, women with unwanted pregnancies going into the pregnancy care center thinking they're at the abortion clinic.
Right.
And, you know, I know there's been, you know, Stephanie Rawlings Blake and others have tried very hard to make sure that, you know, the signage is very clear so that when you're in the door that you're not at an abortion clinic. But what Rachel and Heidi have done is to take this issue that we almost can't talk about anymore in America. As I said on the blog, I mean, you know, abortion and guns are the two things that just, you know, within three words, you know, you're already at the polar opposites with whoever you're talking about, and that's sort of the end of the discussion. And they have, using classic cinema verite technique, where the filmmaker disappears, is what that means. You know, no interviews, no, you know, just is out of the picture. And in this case, it's so effective for letting all the participants, pro-abortion, anti-abortion, and the women caught in unwanted pregnancies, ping-ponging between the two, letting them speak. And what you see is the complexity of this issue and its human dimension, which is really what it's all about. And it's unbelievable filmmaking. I mean, it's no surprise to anybody who's seen Boys of Baraka and Jesus Camp how good these women are, these filmmakers are.
Oh, they're amazing.
At just visual moments. I mean, they're, you know, which many good documentary filmmakers who've given us great things are, you know, don't have the visual power that Heidi and Rachel have. But their ability to let their subjects deliver what they want to say is just remarkable.
So you're going to... I'm sorry.
And this film and the discussions that are after it. I mean, there were people who had worked in pregnancy care clinics in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It was, as you would expect at Sundance, many of the crowds are sort of lefty, liberal type crowds. But this crowd was clearly like America is on this issue, not easily tagged. And this movie embraces that not easily tagged. And if this can get to audiences, I literally think it could change the political landscape of America.
So you think, are you thinking about bringing it to Baltimore?
Oh, absolutely no question.
Great.
I mean, they don't know what they're going to do with it yet. HBO funded it. Another great funding source, just although they've been around a long time, so they're not brand new, but hugely important. And I don't think, HBO will air it, of course, but I don't think right now they're thinking sort of summer. I hope that they give this a theatrical run, because HBO itself would have to partner with somebody, because they aren't exactly equipped to do it. But I would play every film festival, and I would take it into theaters. This thing, audiences will want to get to this movie. It's an amazing piece of work.
Now, let's talk a quick, before we run out of time, some of the other things that Baltimore Connections, like you wrote in your blog about Jeffrey Blitz and Anna Kendrick, that were featured in Rocket Science, his film at the film festival.
Yep.
He's a Hopkins grad as new doc Lucky, and she went into Up in the Air, the film with George Clooney. So talk about all that for a moment.
Yeah, it's so much fun to see these things. When I saw Jeffrey right before the screening of his new movie, this documentary, Lucky, we chatted a little bit about it. He's been talking with Anna, and here's a wonderful actress, but who just in the flick of a switch, her life is completely different now. And the character she plays in his feature film, Rocket Science, that we had at the festival, is a precursor, is sort of the high school version of the character Natalie in Up in the Air. So it's sort of great. It was fun, thinking about that and his ability to sort of help a career get launched. In his movie about lotteries, which is a documentary, and he started as a documentary filmmaker because he did The Great Spellbound, and then made a feature, Rocket Science, and is now has made this movie about lotteries. And again, here's this thing what would we call it? Cultural entity, lotteries, that is huge. I mean, way bigger than professional sports in terms of audience. And who has really explored this world? And this documentary filmmaker has, using both factual, lots of great information based on a tremendous amount of research and personal stories of people who have won huge lottery winnings. He explores this world, and it's terrific, it's like completely fresh, and you sort of scratch your head and say, why hasn't this been done before? I mean, here's this huge thing in our culture that we don't know too much about. And here's somebody helping us understand it.
So as we wind out here, I want to have a couple of quick things. One is, anything that you think you want to give to us that we've left out? Let's start with that. Anything that really, that you got to tell us about?
No, I mean, there's so much. Yes.
Right, we'll wait till you come back.
We don't have time for all of that.
We'll wait till you come back.
But one quick thing I would say is this fantastic film that we gave the Maryland Filmmakers Fellowship to a couple years ago, and it was in script form from a first-time feature filmmaker, an African-American woman, lives in Philadelphia, Jamaican by birth, but lives in Philadelphia. It's a film called Night Catches Us. Beautiful, beautiful film with great actors, made on no budget. And Manola Dargis in today's New York Times identifies it as one of her favorite films of the festival. And that's the kind of thing that Sundance, can do. And it's where that film goes from here, nobody knows. But, it's up in the air now.
It was at the festival under another name, correct? Or was that the script was, I mean?
Yeah, when it was this, exactly right. It was called String Bean and Marcus.
Right.
when we read the script, and she changed it somewhere in the, I haven't really grilled her about that somewhere in the process. But I ran into Tanya Hamilton, the filmmaker, yesterday on Main Street. She was just about to leave town, and here she is. She's gone through all this work to get this film made, which is unbelievable achievement. And then, you know, she's now at this sort of momentary pause, and we'll see. I mean, here, you know, certainly a shout out from the New York Times is a good thing.
Not a bad thing. You're going to try to bring that home to Baltimore?
Yeah, absolutely. That will be at the festival. That will definitely be at the festival.
Well, Jed,
Tanya will be there.
We're going to look forward to touching base when you get back, and a longer conversation about what's going on, maybe with some filmmakers as well. I'm always, I got to tell you, you've done great things for our town with building this film festival into one of the major ones in the country, and be safe and don't walk under any avalanches.
Thanks so much, Mark.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thanks, bye.
We've been talking with Jed Dietz, of course, the founder and director of the Maryland Film Festival, who goes out to Park City, Utah for the Sundance Film Festival every year. And this was our annual look at that with him on a report. It ends Sunday. We'll hear more about all these films in the coming weeks.